Welcome back to Extension 720 here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio with me is one of the rising stars in the business of esports. Esports is a fancy word for gaming, which is a fancier word for video games. But please put away your preconceived notions or stereotypes of what you think of video games, because the budding business is raking in millions. Roderick Alamania is a serial entrepreneur in media startups. He was part of IGN Entertainment that was sold to News Corp for $650 million back in 2005. But recently, Alamania has turned his attention to the esports world. He's partnered with some of the legends in gaming to create Ready Up. Ready Up is a platform that connects gamers at all levels of play. Alamania and Ready Up are betting big on esports. This past fall, they raised $2 million in capital. Tonight, a conversation about the future of sports. Esports. Roderick Alamania is in town for the IEG World Conference. He's my guest in studio. Roderick, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
First of all, you were at the IEG conference, and all of it was about transforming the world. I think that the thread was blurred.
Correct.
You spoke at the conference. What did you tell people?
Yeah, well, we were talking about partnerships and experiences. One of the things that we're doing at Ready Up is we've partnered with the NBA Players Association. And one of the experiences that we're in the process of executing shortly is for fans to be able to engage some of the top NBA stars who are huge gamers and essentially connect with them through gaming.
I can't even believe that would be it. I just flash back to me being 15 years old and thinking I could play Glenn Rice. It's Glenn Rice. That's crazy. But that is the future. This opportunity to do all these different experiences with real people in a virtual world.
What was interesting about the process, we connected with the NBPA in, I think, July or August of last year, and we had a really great conversation with Michelle Roberts, who's the executive director. And one of her quotes was, "We realized gaming wasn't going to be the pet rock that it was here to stay." Interesting stat, 90% of the basketball players play video games.
Wow.
And a funny story she told us was she was out with some of the players one night. And after dinner, she was telling them, "Yeah, you guys, go home, don't get into trouble." And she said, "What are you guys going to do?" And they said, "We're going to do some Fortnite." And she said, "Where's that club located?"
Fortnite, that's a good place to start.
Sure.
Because esports has been on the forefront of our culture for the last couple decades now. But Fortnite has brought it to a new level. You're starting to see it permeate culture in a way that it's, like you said, it's no longer the pet rock. It is the rock. Do you need games like Fortnite and experiences like that come along to get the business of esports into a higher level of visibility?
Yeah, Fortnite was great for the industry on a couple levels. One of the interesting things about Fortnite was you actually saw a lot of girls and women playing it, but actually more girls, I'd say, at the high school level. Traditionally, video games has been focused on, males, 18 to 34. This was a really interesting crossover, at least in the kind of the more hardcore, what you consider more hardcore gaming side of the business. When you look at mobile games, they're obviously massively populated by women, games like Candy Crush and such. But this was, a game changer.
Yeah. And what is it about Fortnite, if from your estimation, that made it so popular?
Well, it was kind of the combination of Minecraft meets a game called PUBG, which was the first kind of really popular battle royale that kind of became more mass market. The growth curve on both of these games was tremendous. I mean, literally zero to several tens of millions of users in a very short period of time. Perfect example, Fortnite, the next game that came along was one called Apex Legends, which is another battle royale published by EA. And I believe they went from zero to almost 40 million in literally weeks as opposed to months.
Wow. It's amazing to think about the trajectory right now. And you, as someone who, reading your background, you got your start in starting media startups. How do you get from there to esports?
I've been kind of working in startups since 1995. I was working at an ad agency on the media side. This is a really fun story. We had Microsoft as our account. And literally, I believe it was probably 8 months before Windows 95 launched. Windows 95 launch was huge. They needed an online plan. Back then, online meant getting online through AOL or Prodigy or CompuServe, and no one really cared about it. And so it was, hey, give it to the young 20-something-year-olds who care about that stuff. We're dealing with TV and we're dealing with print. And we launched Windows 95 on the internet. I met InfoSeek, which was the first search engine to ever do putting ad banners with keywords, which Google obviously has since perfected.
That's the heart and soul of it now, right?
Yeah, and the crazy part was InfoSeek actually recruited me, and I became the first sales hire there that wasn't an executive.
What did you learn about that experience that you keep with you several years later with ReadyUp?
You have to persevere when you're kind of on the cutting edge. I mean, literally, 468 by 60 ads were considered a crazy new ad unit, which is something that we're like thinking, whatever. You know, it took time. It didn't happen overnight. It took, God, probably 6 to 9 months, and you just had to persevere.
When you're working in startups and subsequent startups after that, and even the one ReadyUp, do you have to remind people around you who might be new to that business that it takes time, that it's not something that's an overnight flash in the pan, even if there is success?
Absolutely. It's hard.
You're the wise old man in the room. Right?
Thanks for calling me old man. It's one of those things where it doesn't happen overnight, and you get a lot of no's and it's a lot of education. After I left InfoSeek, I was fortunate enough, we got acquired by Disney. That was back in the internet heydays. When I worked at IGN Entertainment, IGN.com, we were kind of more hardcore gaming focused. We weren't doing a lot of ad revenue with the video game publishers who were spending all their money in print. So it was just a function of time and working my ass off, and suddenly, boom, it exploded. And you know, the long story short was we took the company private at $26 million, and we ended up selling to News Corp for $650 million.
That's amazing. And for you to be a young entrepreneur to be in a position where you're seeing that kind of money, what does it do to you? Because you're not getting the six. There's a lot that goes into getting $650 million, but the win to be a startup, an entrepreneur, the win on getting that sale had to have been huge.
You know, when I was at InfoSeek, we went public. Literally within probably, I don't even remember, a year or two after I'd been there. I mean, I'd gone from making $18,000 a year living in San Francisco, which is just ridiculous because I think, I remember I'd go out and spend $40 a night and be like, oh man, I'm done, to, you know, working at a company that went public, and it's completely life-changing. It's very life-changing. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's probably a little bit arrogant when in your 20s when you come into that sort of success. You know, luckily, my wife, who I've been married to, 24 years now, this year, or I'm sorry, 19 years this year, we'll be 19 years
together,
this year.
Together, 24.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, she was the kind of person who kept me in check.
There you go. So, you always need that.
So there you go.
Roderick Alemany is my guest. He is one of the guys behind ReadyUp. You guys are betting big that this is the future of gaming, of esports, is organization. And we'll talk about that coming up here. More with Roderick talking about esports here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Roderick Alemany is in studio with me. He is one of the guys behind ReadyUp, which is a new platform betting big on esports, and was just in town for the IEG World Conference that was at McCormick Place. Roderick, we're talking a lot about your successes because you're looking back at your CV and the successes that you've had in startups. You keep winning and winning and winning. When you approach a new project like ReadyUp, do you have a lot of confidence because of your track record? Do you look and say, you know what, this is a slam dunk?
So I had gotten involved at esports back in 2006 when I was at IGN. Right after we got acquired by News Corp, DirecTV gave us a call and they said, hey, we're going to start covering video games the same way we cover Sunday Ticket. You know, long story short on that one was that we created three television shows, which then blossomed into this league that News Corp threw $45 million into, which is crazy, right? Unfortunately, we were trying, you know, there was no Twitch, there was no YouTube back then. Distribution was expensive. Production was expensive. I learned about TV production. I got a producer credit, which was kind of cool.
There you go.
ultimately, the league failed. And I took a hiatus from esports. And back in 2017, reconnected with a guy named Jonathan Wendell, his Gamer Takes Fatality. Jonathan and I had worked together at Championship Gaming Series.
He's
crazy good, 12-time world champion. He's still amazingly good, just inducted into the Esports Hall of Fame. So we reconnected back in 2017. And you know, my observation on esports was, hey, this has obviously grown tremendously in terms of audience and in terms of revenue, thanks to companies like Twitch and YouTube. It had grown, but it necessarily hadn't matured as an industry.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think that's a great jumping off point for us to get into esports, is that you will have successful industries that will attract huge audiences, especially new media. Yet the business side of it lags behind. The opportunities that might be there when it comes to partnerships, when it comes to sponsorships, when it comes to some of the things that you're seeing big industries like football or basketball take advantage of. You come along, you see that there is a missing link there, and you can fill that link. You could think about esports as an industry growing bigger, getting bigger because of business.
So it's interesting you brought up football and traditional sports. What we're doing at Ready Up isn't rocket science. It's literally taking best practices you see in traditional sports that have structure and organization. It's looking at other industries that have structure and organization and just applying it to a really nascent market that's global, that has, you know, the challenges that we're looking at in the U.S. are applicable globally. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So literally what we're in the process of doing is just putting in the structure and organization that you find in other businesses into this really nascent market of esports.
You're right. It's a simple concept when you talk about Ready Up. And what I love it is that you have an anecdotal story about coaching soccer or coaching the league. This concept of when you were having to organize everybody, you recognized that there was a need.
Yeah. So there's an app called Team Snap. If you have kids, you live by it religiously. It tells you who's on your team, when's practice, who's showing up, all the things of logistics that aren't necessarily rocket science, but it's literally a pain in the ass to manage.
It's better than the phone tree.
Right. So when we were looking at the esports space, made that observation, God, there's all these teams globally, and you know, I bet you they're having the same issues around that.
Trying to organize everyone, when they're going to be there, who's playing who, that kind of stuff, right?
Exactly. So as we started to think about Ready Up, we spent 7 months really validating the idea with the market, from publishers to leagues to professional teams to amateur teams, to make sure that if we were going all in on this, there was a there. This wasn't something that we just said, hey, let's build.
Right.
We were really thoughtful about the process of pulling this company together. There's really kind of three pillars to the product. It's meet, compete, and get better. And think of Meet as being LinkedIn meets Tinder for gaming, helping players find teams, teams find players at all levels of play.
Roderick, this is important because when I think of video games, and especially the advent of a newer generation, the backbone of video games and gaming is playing competition to be able to connect through the internet and play strangers.
Right.
There's a limit to that where you're constantly playing people you don't know. And really what people are doing is they're finding shortcuts to get online at the right time to play people they know and things like that. So this is the platform that helps bring those people together and organize them so they're playing their friends and playing people they know and competing against people that are at their level.
This is no different than traditional sports. Think about hoops. You play pickup hoops. Mm-hmm. And you just, obviously you love to play basketball. But you just don't go randomly and play with strangers. You find your crew. You find your tribe. And we're finding gaming is the 20-somethings that grew up with gaming. This is their version of pickup hoops in many ways. And what's different is you don't necessarily have to be physically next to that person to play. And, you know, a lot of times it's, I just want to find cool people, play with. A lot of my friends may not be playing this game. I want to find other people that are just as good as me or better. Or maybe not as good as me, but they're just really cool people to hang out.
Yeah.
It's literally just socialization.
It's great, too, because what I like about it is that you incentivize people to get better. You incentivize people to compete and then to show how good they're getting. And their incentive, obviously, with blockchain and virtual currency is involved with this. But this concept, and you see this now as almost standard when it comes to gaming, that there are ways you get to a certain level and you're rewarded for it.
Yeah. So we address all levels of play. We've designed the product where it really needs to have deep features to appeal to gamers. Mm-hmm. But it also has to be simple enough to use where if I don't consider myself a gamer, but I like to play games,
right. It's
an easy enough to use environment. One of the areas we're trying to tackle in gaming right now is that, you know, gaming is very much you're either in the cool folks or you're not. And part of what we're trying to do is grow the industry, because if it grows, all boats rise with the tide. And so if we're trying to make Ready Up this place where anyone who is either a gamer or enjoys to play the game, the product and the service adds value to it.
That's interesting. So there is a little bit of a have and have nots in the way that gamers approach video games. Meaning you're going to have some people who are in a clique, they're in the cool, this is the crew to be in, and everybody else is trying to get in there.
That's exactly right. And when you think about gaming, the gaming audience being a pyramid, you know, the hardcore, the pro, and the hyper-competitive, and then as the pyramid gets down to the bottom, it's more of the mass market folks. Mm-hmm. They may never want to play in a competition, but it might be, hey, I want to jump online on Thursday and do a raid or play some Apex or Fortnite or PUBG with my friends, just help my crew. That's where the mass opportunity is.
So you see that's where, and beyond Ready Up, do you see that's where gaming is going, where esports is going, where, and I'm not talking about competitive at the point where they're professional, but even the amateurs finding a way to organize their lives where gaming is an organized part of it.
When you think about how people are consuming gaming. I think it was Netflix said their biggest competitor is Fortnite, and it's in terms of engagement. You know, people enjoy playing video games, where gamers and people who game spend a disproportionate amount of time and money gaming. And part of what we're doing with the product, which is, you know, I talked about Meet Compete, mm-hmm. is all about that whole Team Snap model, scheduling. It's like, hey, I got my crew of people. Let's do a raid. Let's make sure that it gets put into our calendar. It could also be, since we're doing a calendaring system, it also could be, hey, I'm a huge fan of gaming. I don't necessarily play a lot, but maybe I'm a huge League of Legends fan. There's tons of events. There's tons of streams going on, but there's really nowhere to find that information. There's no, like, you know, going old school, there's no TV guide. Yeah. So what we're doing with that calendar, with the calendaring system, is we're also creating an events calendar. So if you're a fan, you can find out, hey, here's a game I like. Maybe it's Call of Duty. Click on it, and it tells you where everything's
at.
Yep.
Roderick Alemani is in the studio with me. He's one of the guys behind Ready Up. We're talking esports tonight on Extension 720. And when we come back, I want to talk about the broader. There's some really interesting things when you talk about the business side when it comes to data, when it comes to time spent, and just how more and more this is becoming a business, more than just sort of friends getting together to play. There are business opportunities there. And I want to talk more about the future of esports. Roderick Alemani, my guest here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Roderick Alemani is in studio with me. He's one of the guys behind Ready Up, which is a new platform for esports that helps organize gamers from the amateurs to the professionals. It's getting a lot of buzz in the industry, and it's just raising capital this fall, raised $2 million. It was just here at the IEG World Conference that was at McCormick Place. It continues to get a lot of buzz. And this idea of esports, we've been talking about it, and we've been talking specifically about it, but people, if we pull back a little bit and we say, okay, this is an industry that for the last 10 years people have been saying, oh, this is the future. Gaming's the future. You see these stories pop up all the time. Now these young kids are making money off of, they're making six figures off of playing video games. But what makes today the day? What makes 2019 better than 2017 when it comes to gaming and this industry?
You know, literally it's a function of games like Fortnite bringing it into kind of mass market levels and mass market awareness. Perfect example. If you saw the NFL 100 commercial that they did, and it had all those Juju Smith-Schusters at the beginning of it, if you're a gamer, you'll realize the guy with the pink hair, that was Ninja. Ninja's in the...
Yeah, right.
That just goes to show that this,
Fortnite,
is,
right.
this is beginning to hit a mass market. Gaming, actually, it's a massive market. There's 2.3 billion people that play games globally. It's a massive multi-billion dollar
and
industry.
I was listening to an interview you did, and you had a good point of talking about gaming being this generation's form of entertainment. You know, you and I, we may have grown
movies.
Up. We watched basketball, football, or even played it. That was our form of entertainment. But gaming has replaced, and still obviously mass media when it comes to those sports. But for a younger generation, gaming is the basketball, the baseball, the football.
That's exactly right. And to that point, when you look at what's going on in the esports space, there's a lot of ownership groups from basketball, football and baseball getting into esports. And I think it's twofold. First thing is, you know, they're trying to use this as a way to, video games as a way to maybe bring audience into their sport. When you look at the average age of NFL.
Like a crossover, yeah.
Yeah, it's 40s.
Right.
It's also a hedge for them. You know, the second thing is, not that those sports are going to die anytime soon, but if this is the new sport of this generation, they need to be there. And that's why you see so much investment coming from the professional sports.
I want to talk about two things before we wrap up this hour. One, I have an 11-year-old son, and every time I talk to any other parent, anywhere from 6 years old to 14, it's, he can't get his head out of the iPad. And the second is, he watches people play video games.
Yeah.
Right?
I have an 11-year-old, and he watches people.
And everyone of our generation up goes, how is that even possible? How is that entertaining? Yet, he can't take his eye off it. And I look at the numbers from Twitch, from YouTube. I investigate the gamers that he's watching. They're getting millions and millions of clicks and monetizing those clicks. There is something there that we may not understand. You obviously do, being in the business, but that we may not understand as parents, that is fundamentally different than our generation.
Sometimes I don't even understand it when I work in the business. But, you know, when we're talking to brands and talking to folks that are looking at the esports space, my comment is always, doesn't really matter what you think. This is what's happening. So you can either embrace it or you can just say, I don't get this, and move on. And those who say, I don't get this and move on, are going to be left out, especially on the marketing side. Yeah. This audience, it's a millennial audience that's doing this, hardest to reach audience in media. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you get it or not. This is what's happening. So you just need to embrace it and try to understand it.
I think the millennial generation gets a bad rap across the board. I'll hear across our station, other places, just funny stories about how millennials treat jobs or how they treat money or how they treat, you know, they love it. They love the jokes, right?
Yeah.
But there's something to be said that they're savvier than we ever were. And when you think about esports and gaming, and you've talked about this as well, I was thinking about marketing. They're very aware that people are using their data. They're very aware where you and I, or, you know, me,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is a free site and I don't understand why, you know, like, oh, they're taking my data. How did they get my data? I'm acting like it's a complete LUD.
Yeah.
But what esports is doing is they recognize that they understand, and like places like ReadyUp saying, we know that we're using your data and using marketing to you specifically, and they expect it and they want something from it.
I'm glad you're bringing up this topic. If you're a brand, this audience knows you're marketing to them. Don't interrupt their content experience. You know, right. That's what we've been doing. And I've been guilty of it, being a meeting executive. It's in the old school days, it's throw this ad up. See my brand. Click on this. Now, you know, the approach should be about add value. Add value could mean give me something that I would normally pay for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's essentially bring me something that I want instead of throwing something in front of my face.
And this is because a younger generation is got savvy to what marketers and advertising people were doing.
That's exactly right. In the mobile ad space, so I worked at a company called Tapjoy, which is one of those ad programs where if you choose a view advertising, you get virtual currency in the game, mobile game that you're playing.
Yeah, right, right.
So value exchange advertising, it's I chose to engage with ads, they leveraged my data, but now I'm getting something that I would have to pay for through, you know.
And I see this all the time, Roderick. I see it when my son is playing a video game on iPad, and he'll say, I want to buy this character. And I'm like, well, I'm not giving you any money.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it doesn't work that way. I watch an ad.
Yeah.
And it gives me currency.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting way to think about that. He knows that he's got to watch an ad to be able to succeed in the video game that he's playing. And that's something that my generation, I don't know if we would accept that.
This is an interesting point. So when you think about what's happening in media, think about what happened with Facebook with all the issues around data and consumers like, oh my God, they made so much money off of my data. What I think we're going to see happening, and we'll see this happen with ReadyUp down in the future, is the decentralization of media companies, where if I'm a consumer and I'm giving my data, give me something in return financially. Yeah. And even though it's got a bad rap, but I think, you know, cryptocurrency and tokenization is an interesting loyalty system for the gaming industry because gamers fundamentally understand virtual currency.
Could you see a world we live in where that virtual currency, because the way that it's always couched in any sort of news reports or mass media is that this blockchain that's going to replace cash, or it's going to be the new currency. Yeah, never work. This is a flash in a pan kind of thing. But could it work in the environment you're talking about and be complementary to a monetary system that we have?
Absolutely. We actually have that in our plans. We were going to execute it last year, but things went south with the crypto market, so we decided to put it on hold. But I still fundamentally believe that there's a huge opportunity around creating, just basically taking a loyalty program and tokenizing it. And if you happen to choose to engage with an ad, there's an actual back-end transaction where the advertiser says, here's a buck for sending someone my way. And as a decentralized media company, what you can do is say, hey, user or consumer, here's X percent of that transaction because you drove value.
I was going to say, it feels no different than banks. Banks have done this with credit cards and other places where they'll give you cash, the cash back deals.
Yep.
It's not real cash. Like, I can't cash that out and use it for anything,
right.
But I can get 5 cents off of Starbucks. Or whatever. But it's the same concept.
Same concept, but it's with the cryptocurrency. Here's my whole thoughts on crypto and blockchain. We're two separate things, but we don't have enough time to go on that. Is that what happened in the crypto market? Same thing happened with the internet market when I was there. It had this tremendous growth, had a lot of Yahoos come in there, not Yahoo.com, but just
Yahoos.
Bad actors who kind of gave it a bad name. And I think, you know, over time, just like what happened with the internet, real companies will emerge.
I am a dad who, and this really grabbed my attention. So we have Nintendo Switch. And at one point or another, I did a luxury purchase where I got NBA 2K, right?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, fun. And it was a throwback to when I was in my 20s playing Sega Genesis or whatever it was, you know, playing Nintendo, playing NBA. And I play it and I have fun with it, you know, and my son, he says, oh, you want to know what the, because the Switch will rank how much time has been spent on each game.
Yeah.
So he tells me, oh, like, my Minecraft, it's this number. And he's like, Kirby is this number. You know, whatever it is up the line.
It's like social credibility.
Yeah, and then he goes, and the number one is NBA 2K. You've been played it more than I have the entire... Like, I had no idea, because you play a 15, 20-minute game.
Yeah.
But he's like, the time spent on the device, I own it. The 44-year-old dad owns it. And I thought about that, and I was like, that is so interesting, because I grew up in video games, and I don't necessarily think about how much time I'm investing in it when I'm playing. When I'm playing it, I'm playing it. And I wonder how much, just like when you think about Netflix or you think about websites or anything else, that's so incredibly valuable to your industry, how much time these people spend on these video games.
Well, it equates to money now. The model now isn't necessarily, I'll sell you a $60 game, hopefully you'll buy it again. It's, I'll sell you a game or I'll give it to you for free, but then I'm going to put in-game virtual currencies
right,
in there,
right.
And I'm going to put items that you want to buy. And that's essentially what we're kind of focused on at ReadyUp, is all about feeding into the ecosystem. The more time spent people playing games, the different players in the video game industry win. Perfect example, publishers. The longer you play their game, assuming they have a virtual economy attached, that literally equals money.
So you're right. It's no longer waiting for the new game to come out in the Target and go buy it for $69.99 or whatever it is. The new version will be trying to have the in-app or in-game
absolutely.
Purchases.
It's a life. Games are a life service now. It's no longer a finished software product, ship, and go on to the next one. It's a live service. Like I said, the more you play, the more money that makes for the publishers.
It's amazing to me because, you know, I think about how much time, and, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm a bad parent that, you know, you'll have the iPad or whatever it might be, or the Switch or whatever it is, and he's on it, and he's got his head in there, and I'm just like, he should go out, he should run around, he should, like I did, he should go throw twigs.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
But, you know, you feel there's a social pressure that I feel bad as a parent that he's got his hand, because you'll see all of them from the medical community to, it doesn't matter, people tell you that it's bad for development.
Yeah.
But I grew up that way. And I'm the first generation that did.
Yeah.
In the way that I'd sit downstairs in my basement playing RBI baseball on Nintendo or whatever it was.
Man, you're going old school, brother.
But the point being that there was Atari and things like that. We were the generation that started video games.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure that I buy into the societal warnings about too much.
Obviously, there's too much of a, you know, you always have that balance, right? I think the biggest difference between them growing up now and versus us is that at least games are social. At least that's what my son Jordan always says. Dad, I'm not playing games, I'm socializing. I'm like, I'm going to call BS on that. You're playing games, dude. But I like that you're trying to spin it.
Yeah,
that
right.
And he is, you know,
he's right.
You know, he is social. He's playing with his friends.
Yeah.
A perfect example, the other day when I came to Chicago, he hadn't come home. His grandmother's watching him. It's like, where the hell is he? Called a couple of his friends that he wasn't at their house. And then I get a text from him. Oh, yeah, he's over at so-and-so's house because I'm online playing games with them. So I guess he was socializing.
I said he was socializing. This is a fascinating topic, and I appreciate you giving your time. I know you're busy, and to come in and explain to us the future of esports. Roderick Alemania is one of the guys behind ReadyUp. ReadyUp is a platform. So if people are listening to this, what's the rollout? When do we go? How do I get ReadyUp?
Go to ReadyUp.com. Right now we are in private beta. You can sign up for the beta, and you can get in. We plan a full rollout in the June timeframe, right around the E3 show. So super excited about that. Furiously building product right now. It's looking great, and we're really excited about this rollout.
Roderick, thanks so much for being my guest tonight. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.